example of Christ. He's faithful. He's true. He's consistent. What he says is genuine and real. He's not going to lie or steal or manipulate. He's not going to take advantage of others. He's going to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. A man of excellent reputation. You know, you and I are all challenged to be just the same way. 1 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord." God has called us all to such a path, that we ourselves might be faithful in our walk with the Lord, that we might be faithful in our presentation of faith in our daily lives. You know, one of the things that make homemade donuts good is the consistency of the recipe. Isn't it true? Have you ever heard somebody say, "Well, you know, my mother made this and this and this, and I have tried and tried, and I just can't get it to come out the same." You ever heard that? Sandy and I, when I pastored in Kansas, Springfield, Missouri has a unique dish called cashew chicken. You can get it anywhere, except it's made different there. It's a totally different cashew chicken. I've never been any place anywhere that has the same as Springfield, Missouri. Well, there was a lady in our church in Kansas, just south of Kansas City, who made exactly the same kind of cashew chicken as Springfield, Missouri. It's even called Springfield cashew chicken. And Sandra Jo asked her a number of times for the recipe. She'd always say, "No, I don't give that recipe out." But her daughter also pressed her for the recipe. And so one day she gave her daughter the recipe. And her daughter made a big batch of cashew chicken, and they sat down to eat it, and it was nothing like mom made. And so she confronted her mom. She said, "What's the deal, mom? I can't get it to come out right. What did I do wrong?" She said, "You did it exactly right. It's just that I left out the special ingredient." That's the way it goes. There are certain things we love in our lives because of the consistency of it done just right. Well, that's what Timothy was about in his faith. That's what he had learned from his mother and from his grandmother, that faithfulness of living a life of faith that was unwavering and unchanging. In fact, when you look in the text, Acts chapter 16, verse 5, it references the fact in 2 Timothy. I'm sorry, we want to turn over there, not to Acts. Look with me over at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. And here you find him reference that he had unfeigned faith. Listen to what it says. "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also." Unfeigned faith. It's a faith that is not hypocritical. It's not a two-sided or double-tongued faith. He says, "Timothy, I found in you this unfeigned faith that came from your grandma and from your mom." Not only was he faithful, not only was he of good reputation, not only was he somebody who reflected all the values of his home, he was not a hypocrite about it. He was who he was, and who he was really a genuine young man of faith. It was noted and recognized that he was without hypocrisy. The interesting thing is the Bible addresses that for all of us as Christians. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 says, "Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned." You and I, called as Christians, to go ahead and show charity, which is love, from a pure heart, to have a good conscience before man and God, and to be of faith unfeigned, without hypocrisy. Now that takes dedication and commitment. You know, the scriptures teach us that when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, we become new creatures in Christ. Old things pass away and all things become new. In fact, Jesus called it being born again. Literally, that we become a new person in Christ. That's a transformation. That's a change. That's noted, recognized. And that's what happened with Timothy. There was a clear, distinct difference in his life than from others. And they were able to tag it and say, well, it was due to his home life that he became a disciple, a follower of Jesus. Not just a follower, a committed follower, a serious follower of Jesus. So much so, in fact, that when we look in the scriptures, we find that the Apostle Paul invited Timothy to go with him on a missions journey, and he did. In fact, so much was he reflective of a genuine faith in Christ that we find the Apostle Paul, even when he was in prison, writing and saying, Timothy, come and see me. He valued him as a friend, a co-laborer in Christ. Each of us in our lives, there are certain things that they're special to us. They mean something to us. Maybe it's not donuts for you. You know, maybe your grandma and your ma, they didn't make donuts. But maybe it is. Maybe it is. Each of us, it's something unique. But our faith should be shared. It's something that everybody in this room should look at and examine in their hearts. Am I a genuine disciple of Jesus Christ? Have I received him into my heart and my life, turning from my sin and accepting him that he might be my Savior? And am I genuine in that? Faithful, consistent, unhypocritical? Is my reputation as a Christian real enough to precede me so that people know they're a believer? When we look at this, we understand that what he had at home really changed his life. Now, I want to hope that donuts doesn't change your life, because that's probably going to be for the bad, not for the good. But faith is different. When we accept Christ and we embrace that faith, it changes us for the good. And it changed Timothy. Transformed him, shaped him, made him into the man he would be. And I present to you this morning the gift of Christ. We've already given you free donuts. Coffee, cocoa, whatever you had out there. But the most important gift is Jesus. Faith in him that you might have eternal life. Let's bow our heads as we come to the end of the service. And as your head is bowed and as you look in your heart, I just want us to take a moment to contemplate our faith. Is it genuine? Is it real? Is it transformational, even as Christ taught that it should be? And if this morning you've not come to that place, then in just a moment, we're going to have an invitation time. And I invite you to come to the altar. Let us open the Bible. Let us answer your questions and pray with you that today you might call upon Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and to come into your heart and into your life, that you might be, even as Christ called it, born again. Father in heaven, as we go into this invitation time, I pray for your Spirit to move within our midst. Help us to be a people who are in tune and hearing and listening as your Spirit speaks to our hearts and souls. For truly, Lord, we want your will to be done this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand, and we're going to sing Have Thine Own Way, Lord. It's going to come up on the screen. And this morning, maybe as you sing, you realize that you need to come to faith. Maybe you've not yet received Christ. You've heard about it, but you yourself have not taken that step. Just like Timothy had to, at one time, someplace, somewhere, he had to decide to become a disciple of Christ. Maybe today is your day. And if you'll slip out and come up, I'll have one of the folks who help with our altar. They'll open the Bible. They'll take you to a classroom if you want. And they'll go through the scriptures and answer your questions and pray with you that today you might receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Christians, simple message about donuts and faith, a wholesome taste of home. Is your faith genuine and real? Is it wholesome? It's a time of reflection. Let's go ahead and sing, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord." We're going to sing one more verse and then we're going to close the service. But I am serious that there is no greater gift, certainly not donuts, although I like a good donut. The greatest gift truly is Jesus. He changed my life, and I know many people who He has changed their lives and their eternities too. So as we sing this last verse, if you feel Him tugging at your heart and saying, "Today's the day," let Him have His way as we sing this one more verse. Thank you so much for coming to church this morning. If you're visiting with us, I hope that you fill out a little visitor's card for us. They're on the welcome desk out there, or maybe an usher gave you one. We're not going to come and intrude in your life or anything, but we are going to go ahead and send you things to keep you aware of what's going on at the church and reach out to you to let you know we'd love to minister to your family. Next Sunday's Mother's Day. That's right. Sandra Jo, sharper than a tack. come back. Mother's Day, we always give a gift to every mom. And we love to have moms bring their families on Mother's Day. So next Sunday, Mother's Day. Wow, boy, spring is flying by, isn't it? We're going to be dismissed with a word of prayer. Thanks so much for coming. Be sure and grab those extra donuts on your way out, because neither Dan nor I need those donuts. Kurt, would you dismiss us in prayer?